calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. It is Friday. And if you know anything from listening to the Refresh Radio program, that means it is one of my favorite days. It is my day off, and I am looking forward to it, and hope that you are as well. But we want to finish this week strong. We're going to be in John chapter 14 today. We are talking, we're going to go from chapter 14 right into chapter 15, because there's a continuation of the influence and impact of love in the lives of disciples that will continue on in John chapter 15. So would like to take this opportunity to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. And we would be honored if you chose to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us. We love people. We love Jesus even more. And we want to be a blessing. That's why we exist. And if you chose to come out and worship with us, we would be honored to have you do so. If you do come, please introduce yourself. And whenever somebody tells me that they've come and they're listen to the Refresh Radio program, I always thank them for listening, because if no one was listening, there would be no reason for me to continue to do this. This is not an ego thing for me. It is something I feel like God's called me to do, and we continue to do it as long as it is making an impact on the community. And so we are thankful that you consider us worthy of 30 minutes of your time, and we continue to try and build up layer upon layer, if you will, the Word of God, so that all of us will be better disciples, and that we know God more, we love Him more, and we serve Him to the best of our ability with the divine help that He gives us. So hopefully you can join us this Sunday morning at 10:30. We would be honored if you did so. Today we're going to return to John chapter 14. We'll read verses 25 through 31, and then we'll dive back into some of the other blessings that happen in our life, the transformations that happen, because God loves us and we love Him. So John 14, 25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." Picking up at verse number 27, Jesus, because of His great love for the disciples that He walked with and journeyed with, and His love for us, He says, "Peace I leave with you," but it's His peace. It's not peace like the world gives. Peace, on the world standard, is simply an absence of conflict. It may not be that there is a heartfelt peace. There are treaties that are negotiated, and there may be ceasefires, but there's really no love lost. There's no peace. There's no wholeness to the relationship. There's just a interruption in the manifestation of hostilities. So I always think of what the United Nations does. They send peacekeepers into a region, but that's a losing proposition. We are not called to be peace keepers. We are called to be peacemakers. And the way that happens is we remember that one of the names for God that reveals who he is and what he does is that he is the Lord, our peace. So living outside of his sovereignty causes us to not have the wholeness in our entirety of our existence to the extent that God would like us to have that. So peace means that we are experiencing a time where we are not at war. A lot of times that means we're not at war with ourselves, but more importantly, it means we're not at war with God. Doesn't mean that we are not engaged with the enemy of our soul, which is the devil. Too many people live their life that anytime they come under any sort of attack or any sort of persecution, they think that they're out of the will of God because all of a sudden they're encountering opposition. And I will tell you that many times that opposition from the enemy indicates that you are, in fact, doing exactly what God wants you. The peace that is talked about here is that peace with the Father has been restored through the acts, through the love, through the will, the prayers of Jesus. He's restored or reconciled us to the Father, and it is more than just an emotional thing. Now, I do want to let you know that true love that comes from the Father does have an emotional element to it. We've talked about that. There's more to talk about there as well. But having peace with the one you are walking in covenant with is a tremendous benefit. But like I've said many times, biblical peace is not just absence of conflict, it is wholeness, and it's wholeness in every area of our life. The most important wholeness is spiritual wholeness, but there's also the promise of mental wholeness, emotional wholeness, relational wholeness, financial wholeness, and none of those things are to be taken for granted, because I guarantee you, if there ends up being conflict in any one of those areas, you're going to want them. You're going to want that condition restored just as quickly as possible. And so Jesus, because he loves you and because he loves me, he says, I'm leaving you with my peace, and it's not the peace of the world. When I was growing up, we sang a song, and one of the lines said, the world didn't give it to me and the world can't take it away. And that right now, the thought that there is divine impartation to people, that is something that disturbs a lot of people. They think that the government is the source of our benefits. I want you to know that God is the source of our benefits. And so when you are living with God as your king, you want to do your part and do your civic duty, and you want to pray, and you want to be a good citizen and all of those sorts of things. But with God on the throne of your life, it means that you have learned that during political seasons that you enjoy and political seasons you don't enjoy, that the government is not the source of your peace, but God is. And I don't want to underestimate the supernatural peace that God has to give to us. So Jesus stood up in the boat of a storm that was in a storm that the professional fishermen, the people who navigated those waters, said, "Master, don't you care that we are going to die?" And I mean, they looked at the storm and they said, this is a bad one. And Jesus stood up in the midst of that and said, "Peace, be still." And immediately the storms dissipated, the winds ceased, the waves died down, because when God declares peace, no matter how volatile the storm, peace is going to show up. So the enemy will try and get us filled with anxiety, with uncertainty, get us to panic, get us to feel insecure. But if we remember that God has given us peace, we are able to lift our eyes above the storm, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and recognize that if God's not panicked on the throne and he's the Lord of my life, I don't have to panic either. So that the peace that God gives us doesn't mean that there's not difficulties or challenges or things like that. It's just that we know that with God on the throne of our life, as he's the one that has purchased our salvation, that we can trust him. We can trust him beyond the instability and the volatility that we see going on around us, because he is the Lord, our peace. Then he says this: "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I want to remind you that that statement indicates that we have a responsibility in what goes on inside of our heart. And that means the innermost being. It's not your blood pumper. Your innermost being. It talks about your emotional state. There are so many people that I know who fear prevents them from taking steps, from walking out and things like that. And can tell you that because of the late developing nature of my existence, I was late to hit 5 feet tall. I was late to hit 100 pounds. I was a little bitty, very thin individual, and man, I sometimes go back to wishing that my metabolism that I had back in the day still processed food as quickly now as it did then. I used to be able to eat six tacos, a plate of nachos, have two or three Pepsis, and eat dessert and get up the next morning and lose weight. I think I had a 27 or 28 inch waist when I graduated high school. I just was very thin, not super tall. And it wasn't because I wasn't eating, because we ate good around my house. And but because of, you know, I was thinner and shorter than most of the people that I hung around with, you know, that doesn't breed a lot of confidence. And we lived out in the country, and there's challenges that, you know, you find out there. I mean, I remember 6 and 8 foot snakes that would slither around on our property when the heat would come and bake out the soil. There were tarantulas that nested on the property we lived on, and you'd encounter all of those. So living in a place where you don't have running water other than through a cistern, those are all part of my development. Many people listen and say, "What's a cistern?" It's a great big tank you pump water in, and then you have a pump that you gets it from that tank to your house. It took the city we lived in decades to get running water out to where my family lived. So I lived pretty much a fearful existence. You know, I didn't fight people because I was going to get beat up. I don't like fighting that much anyway, unless it's fighting a golf course. But I tell you what happened, and that was that when Jesus started opening doors for me in my life, I started saying yes to walking through the doors that he opened. And when I realized that he was the doorkeeper and he was going to walk through that door with me, and he was working all things together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, all of a sudden I realized that as a believer, I did not have to live with fear controlling my life. Instead, if I was going to be obedient, I was to live with faith being more influential than fear. And I like to remind people of this, that living a life of faith does not mean you're not living a life of wisdom. Those two things are not in competition with one another. They are meant to complement one another. And so I live a life of wisdom, but I also live a life of faith. And so if God says that I need to do something financially, I'm okay with that. I'm just a steward of the things that he has entrusted to me. And so if he says, I need this to flow through you to go to this particular task or assignment or missions project, whatever it might be, I got no problem with that. I am not one of the people who was made a millionaire because of a recent stock IPO that took place. I heard there were like over 4,000 people that became millionaires, and 400 people became 100 millionaires. I wasn't one of those. Money is an essential. It's a tool. And I'll say this, if you know, you want to support the ministry of Merit Assembly of God, we would be very thankful for that. We've got several businesses that believe in this program and help us. And so you got Treasure Your Landscape, Jits Concrete, and Wyrick Air. But you know, there's other expenses that we have that, you know, we're still doing our best to be evangelistic. And so over the past year with Pastor Harley coming in, our ministry outside the four walls of the church has become even greater. Even this Sunday, we are launching another ministry. We're a tiny church. But when I first came here, I prayed and I said, God, we will do whatever ministry you want us to do, but God, you've got to provide the laborers. And so as God has brought in some people who are very open to reaching other segments of our community, there's new ministry opportunities that come up. And so we try and make sure that we do not overwork the people that we have. But I can tell you there's billions of people, and we want to do our part to make sure that we reach them all. But so we're not afraid. I'm not afraid to start a new ministry. I'm not afraid that if a ministry has existed, but it no longer is serving the purpose that it had. We're not afraid to, you know, stop it, suspend it, do whatever. And so our ministries are constantly in flux because we want to be doing what God would have us to do. So we're not afraid to start something. We're not afraid to end something. We do not allow fear to immobilize the ministry of Merit Assembly of God. And I want you to realize that because God loves you, that fear has been dethroned, and God has given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And so you and I get to live with the benefit of the peace that comes from the Lord, our peace. Verse 28, you've heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, okay, here's another one of those if you loved me statements. It doesn't mean that the provision is conditional. It means that there's a responsibility on our part to do what we're supposed to do. So Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. So when was the last time you rejoiced because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding on your behalf? What happens too many times is because we are such visually oriented people, guys in particular are visually oriented, ladies are in other areas of their life, retailers spend lots and lots of money doing research as to where to position their products so that it catches your eye. That's why the Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. It's because if they can catch your eye, it's not going to be long till they use that visual portal to gain access to your heart. As we see problems that come up and go, the attempt is to get us distracted, but instead we can rejoice because we know that God is on the throne, that Jesus is watching over us, that we're the apple of his eye, and he is positioned himself and dispatched God the Holy Spirit so that we might have joy. So I would like to encourage you that because God loves you, you and I can rejoice. The hard work of the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection, God's already taken care of that. And part of the benefit is that we get to rejoice because of the obedience of Jesus Christ. It shifted. There was a complete dynamic shift that happened as a result. Prior to Jesus fulfilling the laws and the prophets, it was impossible for us to fulfill that. So we were living dependent upon the mercy of God, and we still do, but we were powerless to live the life of obedience that God really wanted us to. Now, because of the work of Jesus, we get to say, I am so thankful that Jesus has taken care of all of this, not so that I can be neglectful or negligent in my life of obedience, but so that I can go ahead and live my life of obedience and say, if I fall short, Jesus will not fall short. We are yoked together with him, and when animals are yoked together, now with farm technology and, you know, multi-million dollar pieces of equipment that are used on these large industrial farms, yoking animals seems very archaic and things like that. But when two animals were yoked together, there was always a stronger animal and a weaker animal. And the person who was controlling the plowing had a way of adjusting the load to where both of the animals were giving their full effort, but the strongest animal was pulling the heavy load. You and I, when we take Jesus' yoke up on us, it's not a yoke of burden. It's a yoke of honor. It's a yoke of privilege, so that we get to do life together with him, and as a result of that, we can rejoice. I don't know what you're facing this weekend, but I want to tell you that as a child of God, Jesus, because of all that he's done for us, he has sentenced you and he has sentenced me to peace, which is not just absence of conflict, it's wholeness in every area of our life, and he sentenced us to joy. I pray that you have a jubilant weekend. Hopefully we'll see you at church on Sunday. If not, we'll see you back here Monday on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.